Okay, we are on page 1080. We're middle of what's known as the hidden brachas, which are openly, they look like curses, but they're really hidden brachas. And last week, we hurried up, we got to the pasuk 47. On page 1081, pasuk mem vav mem zayin. That all these curses come upon the Jewish people because they didn't serve God with joy. And if you remember last week, we spent like 45 minutes explaining what the importance of joy is, why is joy important, and it breaks barriers, and all the curses come, doesn't say because you didn't serve God, it says because you didn't serve God with joy. And this we went into at great length last week. But there's another interesting story that the Gemara brings down, that Rav Roika, that was his name, met Eliyahu Navi in the street, the prophet Eliyahu Navi, and he said to him, are there any people in this marketplace that are fit for the world to come? So he says, yeah, these two people who are coming to meet them. Eliyahu Navi says to him, these two are fit to go to the world to come, to Gan Eden. So he went over to them, and he said, the rabbi went over to them, he says, what did you guys do that's so special that you merited to go to a world to come? So he says, what all we do in our life is we're happy, and we try to make everybody else happy. Just because of that, they merited that they were fit to go to the world to come. So it's very important for people to do mitzvahs with simcha, because then you do it with enthusiasm and you do it with excitement and you break barriers like we learned last week. Because in order to reach the infinite God, the unlimited God can only be reached not by a finite person. A limited person by math cannot reach infinite. The only way finite, limited gvul can reach bli gvul is when you break your barrier. Now, how do you break your barrier? When you have simcha. When you have simcha, then you're happy, you do things that you normally wouldn't do. Like you see people when they're happy, they're marrying off a kid or whatever, they would do things that they normally wouldn't do. That breaks the barrier within the person, and therefore, and relatively speaking, they become unlimited, and therefore they're able to reach, to a certain extent, they're able to reach the unlimited God. Okay, this is where we're up to now. So now it says like this, in Pasuk 48, Memches, like 10 lines in the end of the page. Now he's going back to the curses. You're going to serve your enemies. That means you're going to be enslaved to your enemies. This again, this is all because the Jews don't behave. That God will send against you. You're going to be there with hunger and thirst. And you're going to be in nakedness, you're going to be lacking everything, and they're going to put this iron yoke on your neck, until the nation, your enemy will destroy you. Again, these are all parts of the curses that we're going to go a little bit quicker, because we don't need to hear these curses so much, even though they're really hidden, they're hidden brachas.
This is not money, dude. He's not talking about the money.
He's speaking about enemies that God will send to the people. You know, I'll give you an example. They bring down, there's a story. One of the Roman in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, his name was Terchinus, and it says Yimach Shmai. His name was Terchinus. His wife gave birth to a boy. This guy is a Roman general or emperor. His wife gave birth to a boy on Tisha B'Av. And Tisha B'Av, all the Jews are sad. They're crying. And then the baby died on Hanukkah, when the Jews lit candles and they were rejoicing. So you can imagine when the baby was born, of this, the Jews are sad. Not because of that, but because of Tisha B'Av. And then on Hanukkah, when the baby died, they're all rejoicing. In fact, they thought, should we light candles? Should we not light Hanukkah candles? Because, you know, he's going to see where we have partying. The Jew said, you know what would happen? So his wife found out about it. So his wife said to him, to this Roman guy, why are you killing the people, your enemies from who knows where? The Jews are rebelling against you. Look what the Jews are doing to you. You had a baby, they're sad. The baby died, they're happy. And he came and killed a lot of Jews. That's what it means over here. You're going to end up serving your enemy. The enemy is going to control you. In a personal sense, who is the enemy? The Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination within each one of us. What happens, the worst thing that can happen to a person is when he is not in control of themselves. Okay? We got off last week and we ended up discussing this too about freedom, but simply very briefly again, a person is a slave when somebody else controls you. If somebody else controls you, not you, then you're a slave. So, if society controls you, what you should be wearing, the fashion is all up to society. A few people in Milan and Paris decide what the world should wear, so that's what everybody got to wear. Yeah? So they're controlling you. Politics controls. Food controls. Sports controls. Movies control. Everything is controlling the person, right? Society controls the person. We act accordingly, you know, so it's all based on what society decides that we need to do. So that's called being a slave. When you are not in control of yourself, you are slaves to something else. Now that something else does not have to be something out of me. It can be within me. For instance, if I'm into food, okay, and my whole mind is thinking food, what am I going to eat? Are you ever going to the elevator? What are people talking? What are you eating tonight or what they ate last night? Am I going to eat in 3 weeks from now? Yeah, that means you're allowing the food to control me. Sometimes people have their feelings. I want to do something. It might be wrong, but it doesn't matter. If I want to do it, then I'm doing it. But I want is not me. My feelings are not me. That's my feelings. I could change my feelings. One day I could hate fish, and then I could like fish. My likes can change. Many people worship are controlled by their intellect. Right? If I think this is the way it should be, if I think this way, that's what I'm going to do. Even though you might be wrong. So what is controlling me? My intellect is controlling me, but my intellect is not me. Like we said many times, you don't love your children because they're smart, they're not smart. You love the children because they're you, right? So the intellect is not you. It's an extension of you, it's a part of you, but it's not you. So if a person allows to be controlled by their enemy, by the way, which could be their intellect, yeah? It could be their emotions, it could be society, it could be food or anything else. That is called slavery. And not only that is it slavery, but they destroy us. You know how many people get destroyed because of their desires and their wants, or their intellect says, this is the way I got to do it, and it's really wrong, but this is the way they feel. Many people, so this is the pasuk is talking about that also. It's not only talking about a physical enemy from Rome, or Greek, or ISIS, or whatever it may be. The Torah is saying, when you don't behave, meaning, when you don't have control over yourself, and like you said, because the neshama is me, the real me is my life, my soul, and my soul and God and Torah is one thing, God, Torah, and neshama are one thing, so therefore when I do what God wants me to do, that's what I really want to do. So if that doesn't happen, and Torah says you stop listening to what I'm telling you to do, so then what's going to happen? Who are you letting control you? All your enemies. Who are your enemies? It could be internal enemies. Your Yetzer Hara, your intellect, whatever it may be, that you're allowing them to control you. So therefore, this is the curse, that a person doesn't have to be a curse in that time. It could be in a daily living. If a person allows their enemy, their evil inclination to control them, then they're cursed. They're getting destroyed. What?
You kind of answered it. I had the question that, so, but we let our religion control our...
We don't let the religion. Religion is God. God and me, meaning their soul, and Torah all one. So therefore, when I do what God wants me to do, and because my soul is really me, that my body is put into a ground. Yeah? It doesn't mean anything. So, if my soul is God, my Torah is God, my religion is God, so then that's me. So that's the real control. That's me controlling. That's me in control, because that's the real me. Okay, weiter. Yisa Hashem alakacha, not only that, Hashem will bring, carry you a nation from afar, mikseh ha'aretz, from the other end of the earth, kashe yideh ha'anosher, like the eagle will swoop, goya shalisishma l'shayne, a nation that you don't even know its language. In other words, not only are you going to have close enemies destroy you, you're going to have far away enemies God is going to bring to destroy you. Which, by the way, again, in a practical sense, we can get carried away by things we never dreamt of. You know, things that are completely way out there. Like they say, things that are way out there, and we get carried away by them, and we get destroyed by them, and we allow them to control us, and that's the curses over here.
What do you mean by way out there?
Things that seem to be so far-fetched that even in human intellect it doesn't make sense.
Ridiculous things.
Do you know how many ridiculous things society is doing that affects us? I mean, things that make absolutely no sense.
Like men who wear ponytails on top of their heads? Is that what you're talking about?
That's when the minor issues.
That's like...
But you know, today, not only today, the crazier you are, the more you fit in.
Oh, then I fit in perfectly.
That's why you came just now. If you think about it, today, people are so nuts, and then, you know, it's like something that's so far out, it's a guy from the distance. It's not, you don't even know the language of it, so to speak. And that's what's controlling you. And then he says, Goy asponim, a brazen nation, ashalayis aponim lezokin, that won't respect the old, or v'nar leyochin, they won't be gracious to the young. You don't have to go too far for that, by the way, that they don't respect the older, that we know. Like he says, they're not respectful to the older, gracious to the young. They're going to eat the devourer of your animals, whatever grows from your land, until they destroy you. Nothing will be remained from you. Dogon, tirash, v'yitzer, whether it's grain, wine, or oil. Shkara, lefecha, v'ashti, sinecha, the offspring of your cattle, the flocks of sheep and goats. Adavida, esach, until they destroy you. Now, again, these are all part of the curses, that these nations are going to come and consume you completely. V'yitzar, lecha, b'chol, sharecha, they will besiege you in all your cities. Adredes, chemisecha, agveres, v'absudes. That the walls, the high walls, the fortified walls that you use to protect your cities, ashata b'tevam, that you trusted in them, b'chol shiara artzecha, in all your land, they're going to knock down the walls. Okay. Well, again, I'm trying to just put this in the personal perspective that we should understand how this applies today, because everything in Torah is applicable constantly. Walls represent barriers. You know, there's certain limitations that people had. You just don't do this. Yeah? Even in the olden times, you just didn't, even war, for instance. Yeah? There are certain barriers. You didn't kill civilians in war. Right? It was like an accepted law, even though you're fighting your enemy. Yeah? But there are certain walls of guidelines that were established in the world. You don't hit women and children. You don't kill civilians. You see, today, all those barriers are broken. Yeah. All the walls that people thought is security, I'm talking about spiritual walls with spiritual security, are down. There's no control anymore. Everybody does what you want. And what's worse of it, one spoke about this a long time ago, and in Pesach time it was. You know, in the Pesach Seder you have the Afikamen, it's called Safran. Tell him because it's hidden. You know, you hide afikomen, yes, and then you take it out to eat with the end of the meal. It says that there's hidden evil in us that sometimes we're unaware of that we have. There's a story with the Tzemach Tzedek. We mentioned it a few times. The Tzemach Tzedek was once at night seeing people. It's called Yechidus. All of a sudden he stopped and he said, I'm done for the night. There's a long line of people waiting. And the people couldn't imagine why he stopped. And then finally one of his sons knocked on his door and walked into his room. And he saw that Tzemach Tzedek was saying Tillim and he was crying. He said, like, very nice, but you know, there's a long line of people waiting for you. Now is not the time to say, why are you saying Tillim now? So the Tzemach Tzedek said to him like this. When people come into me for advice or for help, and this is really a true statement, Bichlal, you should know. In order for me to help them, I have to find their issue within me, even a very refined way, but I need to find it within myself. And by working on myself with that issue, I'm able to help them. Because if you're disconnected from a problem, you can't deal with it, right? You need to connect.
Feel it.
So he says, when people come into me with their spiritual dilemmas or physical dilemmas, meaning their problems, I'm always able to find something in a very refined way, you know, within me. So if somebody came into me tonight with such a terrible thing, as much as I looked in myself, I couldn't find it. I couldn't find it. But so, what would we say? We would say, let me tell you what the Tzemach Tzedek said. That I have it, I know for sure I do. Because if not, the person wouldn't have heard the issue that he has. But if I can't find it, so the Tzemach Tzedek said, my problem now is, I have a level of evil within me that I'm unaware of. Wow. That's very bad, he said. So I was saying to him, to Daven to Hashem, that he should show me this level of evil within me that I'm unaware of, that I should be able to help myself and then for help the person. So the son anyway told him, okay, enough, go back and see your the people. What, you know what's the worst today? Years ago, and a lot of things of the spiritual battle with physical battles are interconnected. Years ago, during all the wars, you name it, World War I, World War II, the Russian Napoleon War, all the wars, you knew who your enemy was. It was clear. Your enemy was open, you knew who your enemy was, and you knew whom you're fighting. Today we live in a world, the guy that's about to blow you up could be right next door to you, or walking in the street right next to you, and you don't even know who your enemy is. Right? That is the worst type of thing, that you don't even know who your enemy is. And here it says, you're going to get, God's going to bring a nation that you don't even know they existed. That means people need to be aware, and this is a curse, by the way. When you have, like ISIS, yeah, they're hidden enemies. They hide. Okay. What is that on a personal level? We need to know that there's levels of evil within us. Some of them we're aware of, and some of us we're not aware of. And the evil that we're not aware of is worse and more dangerous than the evil we are aware of.
Is that ego?
Ego, but it depends to what extent. You know, ego is the source of all evil. That's what it says yesterday's Ayyam Yam, right? Ego is, there's no I.
Ego is not your amigo.
Yeah, that's true. But it's interesting, mentioned this many times, in Hebrew, the word for I is ani. Ani is the same letters as the word ayin, nothingness. Right? In English, I is always capitalized. Like the big I. Big me. You know? In Torah, ani is ayin. You're nothing. You realize you're nothing. That's the difference that a person needs to realize. So anyway, he says that the problem of the curse is when you're going to have enemies that God will bring upon you that you don't even know who they are. Okay? Okay, and the walls are going to come down that you're trusting in. Okay, top of 1082, second line. They're going to eat, not only will they eat your animals, they'll eat the fruit of your stomach, the flesh of your sons and your daughters, the children that God gave you, b'matzah going to siege and distress, that your enemy will distress you. And again, eating does not mean physical eating. I mean, the curse literally means physical eating. But you will consume, the children will be consumed in things that are very evil, foolish, not proper. They're going to be, this is the curse that Torah says.
Television, what, internet.
Yeah, everything else under the sun. Ha'ish ha'rach b'cha, the man among you is tender, Ba'onig made him very delicate. Teira eine ba'ochev v'veshes cheke. He will turn selfish against his brother and his wife of his bosom. V'yaseh banavashe yesed. And the remaining children that he has let survive. Meaning everybody's going to turn against each other. You can't even trust anybody. Like we know today, you can't trust anybody. Miteis la'achad mehem. Not to give one of them mipsar. They won't hesitate. Mipsar banavashe yechel to give the flesh of the children they'll eat, mibli hishul or curl, nothing will be remaining for you, but matzah or masik, it will besiege and distress, that your enemy will distress you in all your cities. Okay, now it says an interesting pasuk. This the Gemara quotes with a story. Harach b'cha v'anuga, the tender and delicate woman around, among you, Ashelinis is a kafragla, who never tried to set the sole of her foot on the ground without a shoe. Miss Anig, because of her delicacy and tenderness. Teira eina be'ish cheiko, she will turn herself against her husband and against her son and daughter. The Gemara says, where was this? The Gemara says, it was in time of the Churban Bayis Sheni, in the famous Kamsa by Kamsa story. There's a woman, Mrs. Basbaisis. Yeah? She was a very wealthy woman in Yerushalayim. So when the siege happened and the hunger began in Yerushalayim, there's no more food. She said to her servant, go buy me fine flour. She gave him money, she said, go buy fine flour. He came back and he said, there's no more fine flour. There's a hunger. People were, you know, empty off the shelves. So he said, there's no fine flour, there's middle grade flour. She said, go buy that. By the time he came back, that was sold. He came back, and he said to her, the middle grade flour is not there, the junky flour. She said, go buy it. By the time he got back, that was also finished.
I read that today.
Because, so lucky. I probably read your mind.
Probably.
Yeah. So now, she had nothing to eat. So the Gemara says she threw her money, and she said, what good is this money going to do? I can't buy anything with it anyway. She went into the street. So one opinion says, she was such a delicate, wealthy woman, that the Gemara uses this pasuk on her. She put down her foot in the ground, and it was dirty, and she died from it. She literally died from it. Another opinion says, she ate the leftover fig from Rab Tzadik, who was fasting 40 years that Jerusalem should not be destroyed. And then when he started, he had to suck out the juice because he couldn't eat food. So he sucked out the juice of the dates. And then, anyway, so she ate that date and she died. And the Gemara says, this is what the Pasuk is referring to. The very delicate woman, Asher Nisa Kafragla, never put her foot down on the ground. That's to who the Pasuk is referring to, that she died from this thing. Uvashul Yasa Yetzis Miben Agleha, and the afterbirth that emerges between her legs, the Venasha Taylor and the children that she gives birth to, Kiseichlim, she will eat them herself. Because she'll have nothing, there's a lack of anything in the siege of distress. Okay. Again, in a spiritual sense, it means sometimes we eat our children. What do you mean we eat our children?
Monkey.
Huh?
Monkey.
No.
No.
We over
spoil them, and we do everything too much for them, and then they become.
We treat them like friends rather than parents.
Well, that's not so. That's bad, very bad, but that's not what he's talking to. It's worse. Right. You don't treat them like friends. They tell the parents what to do.
Yep.
The parents want to know if they should get divorced. They ask the kids. They want to know if they should do this. They ask the kids. They want to know what. I mean, that's what he's saying. You're eating up your kids alive.
Another word, we are the slave of our children.
Huh?
We are a slave of our children.
Correct. Well, it depends what age they are. When they're little, no, don't tell me no. When they're babies,
it doesn't matter. I mean,
when they're babies, yeah, you're slaves to them. Later on, you're not supposed to be slaves to them. They're not supposed to be your slaves either, by the way. Okay, then it says like this. Imlay Sishma, where all this come from? Because you're not going to be careful. Lasis is called Divrei HaTorah Zeis, to keep this whole Torah. Haksilvan Besefer Azel, which is mentioned in this book. Leyira, to fear as Hashem HaNichbad Vaneira Azel, to fear this honorable and respectful God. Eis Hashem Alekecha God. Okay. Mfashim say an interesting point over here. It says, now it says, you're not going to keep the mitzvahs to fear God. Okay, it doesn't speak about loving God as much as fearing God. Many people say this in davening, Chabad doesn't, but many people say this at the beginning of davening, Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem, Seichel Tov Lochol Osem. Beginning of Reishis Chochma, the beginning of understanding, is the fear of God. Fear of God is easier to reach than the love of God. Because if you think about it, chesed is higher than gvura. Love is higher than fear. Right? So, reishis chachma, what's the beginning, is yiras Hashem. What does Moshe Rabbeinu say? Mo Hashem Elokecha shel mi'imach. What does God want from you? Kiyim liyira. He only wants you to, we mentioned this pasuk Saturday night, he only wants you to fear him. Fear is the beginning of the work. After you have fear, then you can come to the level of love. But if you notice an interesting thing, at the end it says, again, at the end of the pasuk, Eis Hashem Elokecha. God. I mean, it says, Liyiras Hashem, Anichbad Vaneiraza. Who are we talking about? Of course we're talking about Hashem. Why does the...
How do we get to love, though? We are in fear always.
Give me a minute. It says... not asking you. Sorry. One part of my check?
Huh?
You're not getting part of my paycheck. Okay. Eis Hashem Elokecha. Why does the pasuk repeating Eis Hashem Elokecha? So the commentary is interesting. Say it refers to actually to scholars... It's interesting. It says, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. Okay, let me just tell you what the Gemara said. There was one rabbi that every time it said the word Es, in Chumash, he learned something from it. He included something. Like, they give you a few psukim. Bereishis Bara Lakim, Es Hashemayim, Ve'es Ha'aretz. Okay? Grammatically, the pasuk could have said, Bereishis Bara Lakim, Hashemayim, Ve'ha'aretz. Right? Why is he? Es Hashemayim, Es Haaretz, or Kabed es avicha ve'esimach. It could say kabed avicha v'imacha. Okay? So there's one rabbi in the Mishnah that whenever the Torah used the word es, he used it to include. Include. Es ha-shamay means everything in the heaven. Es ha-aretz, everything in the earth. Honor your father, meaning your older brother. Es, you know, it includes other things also. He came to the pasuk, es ha-shem alokecha tira. The pasuk could have said, Hashem alokecha tira, fear God. The pasuk says, es ha-shem alokecha tira. He said, uh-oh, I'm stuck. What can I include to fear besides God? So he said, you know what? Just say God to reward for explaining everything I did. I'm getting reward now for quiet, shutting my mouth. I take back everything I said. Because obviously here's a case of S that doesn't include anything. So Rabbi Kiva said to him, no, keep going. Because S, Hashem Elokecha Tira, includes scholars. It does not only should you respect, fear, and awe of Hashem, it also be S, Hashem Elokecha Tira, scholars also. So it says over here, what's the problem? Because you don't, that's what the Mefarshim say. Es Hashem Elokecha means, because you didn't fear scholars either. Okay? You didn't fear scholars either, so that's why these curses come upon the person. When a person serves God, yeah? So the analogy Torah gives is you have a bird. Okay? If you clip, meaning cut off the wings of the bird, the bird can still live. You can slaughter it, you can shchita, and you can eat it. It's a kosher bird. It's not called a blemish. But, what do the wings do? So in other words, the wings are not the essential life of the bird. But why are the wings important? Because without both wings, you can't fly up. You can't go up. You stay down here. So Torah says that a Jew does a mitzvah, that's the body of the bird. The feeling of the mitzvah, of love and fear, those are the two wings that make the mitzvah go up. In other words, if somebody... Huh?
Why do you have to feel when you do a mitzvah?
I'm going to explain this whole thing. If I get there. Now, the bird, the mitzvah, if somebody puts on tefillin, I hate it, I don't want to do it, and I do it. You still get a mitzvah. You still put on the tefillin. Your feelings don't change the mitzvah, right? But the mitzvah doesn't fly up. Now, in order for the mitzvah to fly up, you need the right wing is love, and the left wing is fear. Now, when somebody hears the word fear, they think that a big lightning is going to come down from heaven and kill me if I don't keep the mitzvah, right? Or as one great chassid, after he became a chassid, he was reminiscing his past life. He was a big scholar, but he didn't learn, like he was very cold. So he said, My fear of God, how did I have fear of God? I pretended in my mind that God is a ferocious buffalo, a bull about to attack me. That was how he had fear of God. That's not what fear of God means. Okay? Fear is awe, respect. That's what fear is. Now, normally, in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe says, love is the source of positive mitzvahs, fear is the source of the negative mitzvahs. What does that mean? I'll give you an example. There's a din that children have to fear a parent. Love, honor a parent, but it doesn't say anywhere a kid has to love a parent. It says, kabed asavicha v'asimecha, and ish ime va'aviv tiro. You have to fear your parents, and you have to honor your parents. It doesn't say anywhere you have to love them. Because that's naturally, hopefully, instinctive within the person that they love the parent. especially when they give them credit cards and everything else. Unlimited. That's the way you kill them, by the way. That's the way you eat them. Okay, now. When I love somebody, I want to be... I'm sorry. So there's a mitzvah in the Torah. A child has to fear a parent. Okay? So what does honoring mean halachically and fearing them? Honoring means you support them, you dress them, you treat them nicely. Yeah? Fear, it says you don't sit in their seat, you don't contradict their words, you don't... things like that. In other words, so I'm not talking about a little kid that if he sits in the, they sit in the parent's seat, they're going to get a patch. Well, I mean, God forbid, years ago. An older person will not sit in the parent's seat out of respect. They're not fear. They're not afraid the parent is going to hit them. I mean, you're talking about a 70-year-old parent and a 50-year-old kid. The 50-year-old kid is not sitting in the father's seat because he might get smacked. Okay? He's sitting in, it's awe and respect. Meaning, I don't want to do anything disrespectful to them. Sitting in their seat is disrespectful. Contradicting the words is disrespectful. Shaka chaynik. Now, you have positive mitzvahs and negative mitzvahs. When I do a positive mitzvah, I become close to Hashem. Somebody you love, you want to be close to. Right? You love, by definition, means you want to become close to them. You want to become one with them. And that's why, like we spoke many times, if you ask somebody, just a person in the street, what does the word love mean? Ask somebody, what define the real definition of love. I'm not talking about a Webster definition dictionary. The definition. But ask somebody in the street, can you explain what the word love means? Ask your own kids, what does the word love mean? They're going to echo and back and back. They're not going to give you a straight answer. Okay? How does...
Also, I think a lot of respect.
But no, that's respect. That's fear. Love is love and fear is fear. I'll explain 1 second. Love, in Hebrew, and this is really the true definition of the word love, the word for Hebrew, in the Hebrew for love, the Torah word is ahava. Okay? Ahava equals 13. Aleph, hey, beis, hey, equals 13. Which is the same numerical value as the word echad. One also equals 13. The true definition of love, Torah says, is that you become one with the person. In other words, what is the definition of love? True, I'm not talking about what today's magazines define as love, or the novels. If you look, what does Torah say the definition of love is? I'm so close to the person, I want to be one with them. So how are you one with the person? That's a sign of closeness, not distance. How do I get close to you? By doing what you want me to do. Not out of fear, it's because I want to be close to you. So positive mitzvahs in the Torah are the source of it, meaning what makes it happen? Because I love God, I want to become close to God. I'm talking about ideally when you do a mitzvah. It's because I love God, I want to become one with God. So how do I do it? By showing it action of what they want me to do. You know, if a husband's going to tell his wife, I love you very, very deeply in my heart, but I'm not doing a thing for you. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. Okay? Because the love has to come into action because then it shows that it's real. Fear, on the other hand, by the way, is just the opposite. When you fear the king is because you understand the king's greatness. Okay? And therefore, I don't want to do anything against the king, because that will distance me from the king. So love is really an attitude of closeness. Fear is an attitude, I don't want to do anything against him. That's why positive mitzvahs, the source of it is, I have a love, I want to become close. Source of negative mitzvahs, not to desecrate, not to go against the Torah, is fear. Now you need both. You need both. Because then you have both wings, and then the what you're doing, the bird, can fly upward back to God where it belongs. So this is the whole concept, by the way, and what here he's speaking about, that the curses come about because you didn't fear God. Okay, you didn't respect God. Fear, it's a Torah word, fear. The literal translation of Yira is fear. But it's not fear like I'm afraid of you, you're going to beat me up. It's more awe, respect, I don't want to do anything against you. But, and this is the difference, by the way, and this is why we're both, children versus servants, versus slaves. Children primarily serve out of love. Slaves, servants, serve out of fear. Therefore, we do both. Therefore, what do we say? Avinu Malkeinu. My father, our father, our king. Right? You think about it. Avinu Malkeinu, contradictory. A king cannot be a king over his own kids. Because the definition of a king is there are foreigners that are bottled, that subjugate themselves to me. Your own kids are an extension of you. And we say in davening, Shabbat, im kabanim, im kavadim. Right? If we're like children, be our father. If we're like your servants, be our king. Because why do we have Avinu Malkeinu when they seemingly are contradictory? Because a Jew needs both things to be complete in their relationship with God. So from one side, we're God's children. In that respect, we're very close to God and want to be closer to God. And from the other side, we need to understand God's greatness, and therefore, I don't want to do anything against Him. I don't want to transgress a negative commandment of the Torah. Now, how do you come to this level of love and fear? According to Chabad intellect, Chassidus, is primarily through meditating into the greatness of something creates a love and a fear of the object, and that's what you do. So here the Pasuk is saying, all the curses come about because you didn't serve God with fear. You weren't respectful of God.
Me so many years to understand. This is the first best explanation of what fear meant. But to a child, when I was a child and they told me you have to fear God, that was the picture I got. You know, that there's someone.
But that's why you have to teach your children now the right way, not that God is, that if you do a sin, a lot of people are taught, and they teach little kids, that if you sin, you know, you desecrate Shabbos, a bolt of lightning is going to come out of the sky and kill you. Yeah? So first of all, when the kid sees it's not true, so, like, it's not true. You know, it's not true, it's not true. So what are you going to do? Right? But fear, that's not what fear means. You don't teach a kid that God is a buffalo, a bull, is going to attack you. Fear means God is very great, and therefore we need to respect Him.
Not against.
And not to do anything that He doesn't want us to do. And that's, children understand it, by the way, better than the adults, because they have, their minds are more pure, with pure faith and amunah, and children understand this better.
But Hashem wants love more than
fear. No, He wants both together.
The Shema starts with the Ahavta.
Yet the Pasuk says, Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem.
What?
The Pasuk says, oh, the beginning is Yira. What does God want from you? Only to fear Him. So you need both. You need to have a total picture. One second. The bird needs two wings. One wing is not going to be enough. Okay. So the bird needs both wings. For a Jew to be complete in the service of God, and that's what the Pasuk is saying here, you need to have the fear of God and the love of God. Because, by the way, when you fear God out of respect and awe, you will serve Him much better than if you're afraid you're going to get beat up. Because any time, even kids, yeah? You know, kids in school, they don't want to misbehave because they're going to get caught and they'll be punished. Mm-hmm. That's very babyish. You know, ultimately, you don't tell a kid to misbehave. You don't teach a kid, don't steal because you're going to get caught. You don't teach that to a kid. You teach a kid, don't steal, because it's wrong to steal. Don't lie, not because your nose is going to grow like Pinocchio. You know that guy too? You could be Pinocchio. You don't lie because it's wrong to lie. It's disrespectful to God. Just like we teach people, it's disrespectful to grandparents, to parents. You know, the whole respect went down the tubes anyway. But I'm saying, you teach a child, you know, years ago, I mean, it's not done today, it's sadly. Years ago, when an older person got onto the bus, a younger person got up. Right? That was the norm. That was normal. It wasn't you're a tzaddik if you got up for somebody on the bus. You're a young person, an older person walked on the bus. What did you do? Today it doesn't exist. Because respect doesn't exist. Because they're not taught respect. People need to be taught respect. Because when you respect authority, and again, parents are authority, teachers are authority, older people are authority. Because they lived longer, they have more life experience, whatever. There's a certain respect for authority doesn't exist today, sadly, very sadly, and because they're not taught what the definition of respect is, because it's just wrong to do it.
Poor role model.
You know, a guy once came to me, a kid that grew up in a religious background, went to day school. He came to me, he was interested in marrying a non-Jewish girl. He came, I knew him, he was from this area. Anyway, he wanted to marry a non-Jewish girl, so I was speaking to him. And I was telling him logically, and I was telling him this and that. And finally I said to him, you know something? Let me tell you the real reason. You're not allowed to marry a non-Jewish person because God said you can't. Not because they're bad people, not because they're this. Mm. You can't because God said so. And that was the way the conversation ended. A few weeks later he met me, he says, you know, the only thing that took me from everything you said, when you told me at the end, because I was thinking logically why it doesn't work, he says to me, the only thing that made sense to me was when you said at the end, God said you can't, and that's it.
People need authority. That's it. They need to be under some kind of authority.
Ma? What?
No, this Chabad Knesset was talking. He was saying, like, Israel has to apologize all the time, explain to the whole world, you know, like, about the whole situation. You have to tell them, this is our land, Hashem said so, and that's it, you know?
You don't have to apologize.
That was his point, yeah.
Don't apologize, right.
Yeah.
And by the way, when you talk like that, that's when they respect you.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
You're not allowed to look at a goy and appreciate their beauty based on...
Okay, let's go back.
Is it true?
I don't know.
It's the truth. You're not even supposed to admire a goy's beauty.
Okay, what does that have to do with the price of eggs? In China.
We're just saying that poor role models, unfortunately, nowadays the children are exposed to so many bad role models, and how can you expect them to behave any differently?
Correct.
How many children do you find, or young adults, coming to Chabad on Shabbat? You know, very few. Maybe, you know, five or six.
Why are you picking a Chabad? Any shul?
any shul in reality.
But you know, in other countries, it's not like this. This is mostly
now. It's like that. America has influence over the whole world in all negativity.
In China or in Iran, or they still respect their elders the way they.
True, true, true. But you know what? The kids that come to America are losing it.
Yeah.
Okay.
With the advent of computers, unfortunately,
they get all of those freedom.
Huh?
They get all of those freedom.
Okay, I don't want to go into chinuch class now, but if parents would be parents, and not to be afraid to be parents, and say no when they want to say no, and stick to it, and not give in no matter what, and the kid sees you mean business, they'll respect you more, not less.
They don't say no to the kids.
Yeah, you don't say no to the kids. No. And you know what? You're not doing them a favor.
This is enemy.
They're not. You don't do them a favor. That's bottom line.
especially if the father and mother are not both in the same
page.
Most of them. It's normal.
The normal is that they are the same page.
Well, the problem is
it's supposed to be in the same page. Okay.
For materialism rather than a balance of materialism.
Huh? I know, let's get back here. Okay, Pasuk Nun Tes, 59. V'hiv la'Hashem es makayish, Hashem will make extraordinary your blows. V'smakayish zarecha, the blows of your children. Makayish gedeles and amon is great and faithful blows. V'chaloyim roim and amonim, evil and faithful illnesses, meaning real illnesses, not fake ones. V'heishiv b'chom, Hashem will bring back to you, kol mavim Mitzrayim, all the sufferings of Egypt. Asher yigartu b'mneim, that you are afraid of. V'dovkuchim, they're going to cling to you. And then God says, even any illness or any plague that's not written in this book, says, even the illnesses that doesn't say in the books, I'm going to bring upon you. Adi shamdach, until you are destroyed. V'nishartem misei ma'ot, and you're going to remain with very few in numbers. Tachas esher yisim kekeich v'ashamayim l'raiv, because instead of being like the stars of the heaven in abundance, why is all this coming about? Now listen, another issue which is very important also to understand. The Jews are sometimes likened, to three things. Sometimes they're likened kafat ha'aretz, like the earth of the ground. Sometimes they're likened kuchol hayom, like the sea, the sand of the sea. And sometimes they're likened kekech v'ashamayim. Okay, so now the question is, what are we? Are we earth? Are we sand? Or are we stars?
Stars.
And Hollywood Boulevard. How can you be all of this?
And when people walk all over us, we are...
Okay, so simply, there's positive and negative. When the Jews are on a high level, they're likened to the stars that shine, and when they're on a low level, they're like dirt that everybody steps on, right? But the truth of the matter is, all three of these are very good. And they bring out a different aspect of the Jew. Okay? Like the stars of the sky means you have to be shining. You have to, even in the darkness, the stars shed light. People, the old boaters used to travel at night in the ocean based on the stars, to giving them light. Sometimes you have to be kafara artist, which represents humility. But you know what's interesting, what's powerful about the earth? All the produce, everything we eat comes from the earth. Granted, it's stepped on, but everything we eat, the necessities of life come from the dirt. So it's a positive aspect to the dirt, right? That look what you produce. And also even kuchol hayam, like the sand of the sea, which is another remarkable thing. Each kernel of sand is worthless. It's nothing. But when the sand is together, it holds back the very strong, mighty force of the ocean. You know, the waves are coming up with might and power in it, but the sand holds it up. But that's only when they're together. Right? When they're separated, it doesn't do anything. It's nothing. So each aspect of the Jews brings out a different point. Here the Torah says, you used to be like the stars of the sky, meaning you used to shed light, and now you're going to be nothing. But in the people, when the Torah says, because the Torah is speaking, everything in Torah is positive. Kochel Yom, like the seashore, is when the Jews are united, nothing can break it. They give an analogy and a very simple example. If you have a piece of straw, it's very easy to break. But when you have a bundle of straw, it's impossible to break. But one straw, it's only a lot of little straw. I mean, because when there's unity and you're bundled into aguda achas, one bundle, then you have very much power, like the sand. No matter, it's nothing, but when you band together in unity, it's very powerful. It could hold back all the evil forces that want to destroy us. The sand holds it back. So there's an advantage in the earth, there's an advantage in the stars. Everything is good. And that's...
What are these evil forces?
Our own self. The only one that could destroy the Jew is the Jew himself. Nobody else can destroy us. That's a very important thing to keep in mind.
Hmm? That's true.
What do you mean it's true? The only thing that can destroy a Jew is the Jew.
Huh?
We
have something in Persian.
The
you
what?
Say,
the worm comes from the tree.
The what?
The worm comes from the tree.
Okay. In Gemara, there's an expression that the axe that chops down the tree. Yeah, it's a Gemara that's brought down the citizens. Okay.
Thank you.